You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe.
Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, and I know it has to get done, you'll get it done. But make sure you're doing it safely. Make sure you're wearing a mask. Make sure you're staying your distance and keeping your hands washed and sanitized and all those good things, because it is spiking, the coronavirus, across this country and around. But you know what? It's hitting a lot of these European countries, ain't it? In Europe, it's spiking. They're closing down places in Rome or in Italy and France and in the UK. And, of course, here in America. I'm not too sure what's happening in Canada. They haven't said too much, but anywhere else. But I know that it's happening here. It's happening here. And thank goodness the person who allowed it to happen the way it's happening is going to be gone. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and in the drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and you'll see programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. The other programs we have here, once again, this program is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Monday evenings from 6 to 8, all times they're going to give our Eastern times, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Wahad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Center with Dr. Kambong and her daughter, Nataki Kambong. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation, Reparations with Nkoba with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers on Tuesday from 8 to 10. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, After 7 with host Shani B. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday, it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 until. And then on Saturdays from 4 p.m. to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. Followed later on from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council, your host, Brother Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sunday, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. I got two guests waiting, so I'm going to try to get through these announcements. And brothers and sisters, they've been on before. Well, at least I know Brother Nkosi has, Brother Peter Brown has, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation with Brother Peter Brown of the Ledge Group. This is the organization that's doing great work. I mean, tremendous work on the continent, and they definitely deserve to be supported. Let me get through these announcements. We Buy Black, We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from We Buy Black. This is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Understand that they reached 1 million followers. Outstanding. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tahemba has been taking our brothers and sisters to the motherland for many years, over 450. Now, he has a couple of trips. He has one trip for sure this year. And don't know if that's going to happen. Actually, two. November 20th, which is this month through the 30th, and then December 24th through January 5th. The November trip is going to Tanzania, and the December 24th trip is going to Ghana. April 2nd through the 12th next year to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 4th to Ghana, and then November 19th through the 29th next year
to South Africa. Those trips may happen. But listen, brothers and sisters, give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. And of course, it's AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Renoko Rashidi, Baba Renoko, he's already changed his trip for Uganda and Rwanda from the January 21st to February 4th to October 5th through the 16th, 2021. He's also going to Kemet August 1st through August 14th of 2021. And his trip is 4,200. So far, Brother Bomani Tahimba of AfricaForTheAfricans.org, his trip is 3,700. But they're all affordable and they're all great. And everything that you need to make that a trip of a lifetime is there. Habashaw Incorporated.org. They're doing work. They're doing work here. Sustainable agriculture, same thing that the Ledge Group is doing. I'm quite sure they probably heard about each other, and they're doing, both of them are doing great work, and I'm going to start announcing the Ledge Group on this program like I've been announcing Habashaw Incorporated. Everything, brothers and sisters that listen to this program, I announce, I'm asking you. I don't get money from nobody. I do this. I pay for this myself. I'm just trying to make sure that you're aware, that you're informed, that you know what's going on. It's time. It is time, dear brothers. In fact, it's been time. So HabashawIncorporated.org. Go to HabashawIncorporated.org and see what they're doing. They got the Kashi Project in Ghana that's up. The building's up. It's beautiful. So check it out. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar here in the West End, right across the street from Soul Veg, and right across down the street from the Shrine. The Shrine, very quickly, the Shrine will be opening for the holidays November 20th. The Shrine has been closed since March. November 20th through January 9th, the Shrine will be open on Fridays and Saturdays. Fridays and Saturdays from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. And of course, the Shrine is located on Ralph David Abernathy, 946 Ralph David Abernathy here in Atlanta in the West End. So check it out there. You can shop for books, arts, furniture, holiday cards, Kwanzaa kits, all kinds of good stuff. The Shrine will be open November 20th through January 9th. And so that's Wadada's up the street from the Shrine. These two bookstores, the Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia's been doing great work. Mama Nia, I tell you, I saw her. She looks beautiful with that beautiful, beautiful fro. I love it. Mama Nia at the Medu bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, a fine selection of books. If you call at 404-346-3263, and request and ask for the book. If she doesn't have it, believe me, she'll get it for you. A fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, certificates, gift certificates, figurines, T-shirts, all you name it. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore I promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, Brother Gazende Ajamu in the in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. And coffee bar, and all kinds of good books, selections, T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff. That's Brother Gazende Ajamu. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us. And their Thursday night broadcast, remember their Thursday night broadcast is every Thursday night at 9 p.m. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. And the name of the program, of course, is Dare to Win. That's every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Or you can call. You can call to listen or call to make your questions or comments or concerns at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. ULU. Sanjay Dash Aidi, Sister Gabrielle Aurelio, who has been doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, deserves to be supported. Of course, she's in a rural area in those hills, and she's doing beautiful work. When you go online to sanjay-haiti.org and look at the children, look at what they're doing, their education, healthcare, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, outstanding. That's Sanjay, SONJAY-HAITI.org. Sanjay-HAITI. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama and Ya Baruti are educating our young warriors. So you make your check or money order out to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That's Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. And of course, you can use Cash App and PayPal. Cash App, the dollar sign YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI, to make your consistent donations. Sanjay. And of course, they have a program coming up tomorrow, November 7th, Resisting Feminism. The presenter is Mama Ya Baruti. And that's tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m. And to register, make your donation $10 or $5 for teens to Cash App at, apologize, to PayPal, to the PayPal account, Ya Baruti at Yahoo, YAABARUTI at Yahoo. Of course, put in the pertinent information, which is Resisting Feminism, your name, and then your email address, and so you can get the link. You can get the streaming link. That's tomorrow from 4 to 6. But from 12 to 2, it's Prayers of Gratitude with Baba Baruti. And this is the same thing, $10 and $5 for young warriors in training. And put the pertinent information in, Prayers of Gratitude, your name, the email address, so they can send you the stream. That is tomorrow from 12 to 2, Prayers of Gratitude. So a program for the sisters and a program for the brothers. Also, too, Kibuka is coming up the 24th. That is remembering the Maafa, the great tragedy, the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. That's Baba Baruti. That's going to be from 5 to 9. That's going to be November 21st. The same thing with it's going to be virtual. So it's $20 a family, $20 a family, 15 a couple, 10 for adults and 5 for young people. And put in the pertinent information, Kibuka, your name, the email address, so they can send you the link. I'll be looking forward to that. The 17th annual Abaka Sumsum, Mama Marimba, Abaka Sumsum is going to take place here at the Sweetwater. And it is live. It is not virtual. So if you are not comfortable, it's understood, but for those who feel comfortable to have a gathering, it is Sunday, November 15th. Sunday, November 15th is going to be at Sweetwater State Park and Lithia Springs from 12:30 to 6:30. Abaka Sumsum. Race First, African Ancestral War Plan. The African Ancestral War Plan. So, all right, the Inye Sesim. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. We're going to get through the Inye Sesim, and then I'm going to get to my guests. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. November 5th. The claim to an absolute ultimate truth is a psychological necessity for the European mentality. Dr. Marimba Ani, my good sister. What makes the European mind unique is its imperialistic supremacist strivings. So in the political context, the questions and answers of science end up being nothing more than attempts to academically endorse the premeditated lies Westerners use to live at ease with their systematic manipulation and exploitation of others. This is a major point of contrast between Africans and Europeans. Europeans see science has a means to enhance their destructive, oppressive ways. Africans, on the other hand, see it as an instrument that allows an individual or a people to enhance self. For us, then, science serves a human good purpose. We cannot ignore the fact that European culture is naturally aggressively imperialistic and supremacist. Domination over all others is its core imperative and interest. Satisfying this hunger only begins their indulgence in a whole host of other lesser but relative imperatives and interests. And since we know that science validates culture, we know that European science validates their supremacist imperialistic aggressions. It is a science of oppression. That's a book by a great warrior scholar, Dr. Jacob Carruthers. Science of Oppression, very good book. It is a science of oppression and wanton aggression. Understood in this way, we can see that European science is truly a political science because it unquestionably reflects the active, conscious, extremely biased, directed cultural mind of its bearers. Affirm, I think, has an African scientist. Affirm, I think, has an African scientist. November 6th. African psychological thought, African philosophical thought is expressed both in oral literature and in the thoughts and actions of the people. Thus, a great deal of philosophical material is embedded in the proverbs, myths, and folk tales, folk songs, rituals, beliefs, customs, and traditions of the people, in their art symbols, and in their social, political institutions and practices. Kwame Greki, Brother Kwame. Proverbs reflect the accumulated wisdom of a people in a way that all other people can understand it. They give individuals what they need of their people's way, whatever their age or intellect. These wise words are some of the most sophisticated ways of thinking, creating better thinkers by challenging them to find deeper meaning in what they say and do. So we must ask ourselves, what kind of mind evolves in a reality where proverbs are a normal part of everyday conversation? What kind of mind is produced in individuals who think in proverbs? Also, proverbs are the product of a calm, settled people. They come from a people who readily take the time to think enduring thoughts. It is the art of consciously thinking. Unlike logic, which can easily be used for evil or good, all proverbs are designed to better develop the individual's intellect, something understood in a communal, obligatory society has a benefit to the community. Affirm, I study proverbs to fathom my people's wisdom. Affirm, I study proverbs to advance my people's wisdom. November 7th. Children who want to be respected must understand the power of respect. The Akabin Institute students. The power of respect is shown in the result of following those who have opened the path to our way. Therefore, if we are to gain respect in every intent of the concept, if we are going to put forth the extraordinary time and energy necessary to be respected without question, we must go back into our ancestral spirit to retrieve and then consciously practice our way. We must seriously study the working traditions it engendered and answer the questions of why these particular thoughts and behaviors were best suited for maintaining a dynamic African sanity. We have to accept and trust our ancestors' wisdom. We must not allow a Europeanized sense of respect based on force to alter our practice of our traditions based on mutual respect of our ancestors' mastery. If we are to truly be African and not some mental site or artificial version of it sustaining under European cultural domination, we cannot commit treason against our ancestors, against the African way. For we are those who we respect. We become them if the respect is sufficient. Affirm, I respect and am respected by African people. Affirm, I am respect and I am respected by African people. Let me say, I love the Enye Sesem. And to me, one of the things that have been told about me is that I'm committed and it's much more important for me to be somebody who is held in regard and in respect, you know, by being consistent, by being dedicated. We have here with us, brothers and sisters, the Ledge Group. The Ledge Group has been doing outstanding work on the continent for many years. And no more further ado, Brother Peter Brown and Brother Nkosi, good morning.
Good
Greetings, grand risings to you. Health and wellness and on your house and vitality and longevity in your life, dear brother. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you. Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Oh, thank you so much for that. Brother Nkosi, how you doing?
I am well, my brother, and greetings to you and all of yours and all of ours and everyone.
All right.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
All right. I'm glad you both were here. I know I should have told you that I had an intro and that, you know, I usually take up pretty much almost a half an hour. but I appreciate your patience and listening and through that. But we want to talk about the Ledge Group and what the Ledge Group is doing in Africa and how some of our people who are listening can join what you're doing and make what you're doing a reality in more than just a few places, but all over the continent, you know, and that's something that needs to happen because I tell you, I've been to the continent a few times and we need help. We need infrastructure. We need a number of things. And what you brothers and sisters in the Ledge Group have been doing has been fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that, and as I must say to you that as a result of listening to your intro, I have been personally elevated. So I want to thank you, Ashe. I want to thank you.
Well, right on. Appreciate it.
The right words into the ethos that they might be heard. And that is our job here. You know, we're here on the shoulders of giants. I've heard you say many times before, but they whisper in our ears and they push us into a similar direction towards healing the whole African family.
Yes.
And so the things that you speak to, the things that you are passionate about, these are not unfamiliar to those who are listening because they are the same passions that resonate deep within our cellular structure that began millions of years ago. It's an energy force that continues to push us forward, continues to bring us back, and continues to move us towards doing the job. So the Ledge Group, man, I'll tell you, and it is a statement that has come to my mind in the last few weeks and months, and it becomes more and more of a reality. The reason that the pyramids are so fantastic a thing to see today, the reason that they never sunk one single inch while sitting in the sand, the reason that they are such a wondrous work is because the people that produce the work worked for a thing 1,000 generations into the future. They did not work to find shade on the plantation. They did not work to make
that's right
more comfortable in their current disposition. They worked to ensure that forevermore you would look upon this monument and you would know the greatness of the African.
I
and
say.
So we don that same energy. We say without any ambiguity, while my lifetime is relevant, it is more relevant how I spend that lifetime. And if I ensure impact for 1,000 generations into the future, and that's the goal. And we define that goal 1,000 years forward and we work backward from that goal. So I know that your babies and mine are going to wake up on a Friday. And at that point, my hope is that we have evolved so far that we eliminate the Greek names of these intervals of time. Frida ain't got nothing to do with it.
That's right.
But my understanding is that 1,000 years from now, your children and my children will wake up and they will need sustenance. They will need water. They will need clothing and healthcare, and they will need essentials. And so our job today is to see that far into the future and to build in order to accommodate. See, the daily bread, my mother used to wake up every day and she would pull this pamphlet from her bedside. And it was called the Daily Bread. And it provided for her scriptural references that she could use in her day and be able to move in a spirit that is most similar to her own. And so the issue is that the Daily Bread has trapped us. the fact that we can't see past the daily bread keeps us from being able to plan 1,000 years into the future. But the conditions that we live in today were not put in place by a blockhead like Donald Trump. They were not put in place by Obama. They were not put in place by Ford or Nixon. They were put in place by men 300 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they had the resolve necessary to put efforts into place that they would never see come to fruition. We must have 10 times that resolve in order to solve our problem. And so, you know who we are, what we do. We partner with our brothers and sisters on the continent. We in the diaspora have capital but no resource. And on the continent, they have resource and no capital. And there is a vested interest in keeping us as a people disconnected and pointing at each other as the problem. So that way, the colonizer has the ability to gain 4-5 times on our ignorance, because they'll take it from the continent in its raw form, give them pennies, they will take it, give it to another colonizer, have them process it so that they can share in the fleecing of our people. Mm-hmm. They will then use the logistics of another colonizer so that they again can share. And they bring that into the United States and into the diaspora, and we purchase it from them at an inflated price. So we lose 5 times on every single good service and product that moves throughout the planet Earth. So the only solution and the way that the Ledge Group works is it ties one African and another African, no matter where they may be on the planet, in a common goal. We ain't got to have the same religion.
Right.
We don't have to have the same political ideology. We don't have to have the same philosophy. But the fact is, without food, clothing, shelter, water, healthcare, security, sanitation, education, and utilities, we die. So we tie ourselves together in a common need. And through that, we push forward the greatest effort that we as a people could take. That is self-sufficiency. At the end of the day, the people that smile at you the most in this United States society are Europeans. It's the colonizer they smiling at you biggest. You know why? They're smiling at you that way because your dependency equals their children.
That's right. That's right.
It doesn't matter how long how long that dependency lasts. As long as that dependency lasts, their children are going to be able to eat off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to define the instruments of our oppression before we can ever leave that condition. So today, I don't define my enemy as the colonizer. In fact, I appreciate the fact that I am able to recognize his nature. I know his nature. Mm-hmm. That he's doing what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about him. He's not my enemy. My enemy is dependency on him. If I am tied to the success or failure of a person who doesn't recognize my humanity, then I should be spending my every moment diminishing that dependency. And that's what the Ledge Group does. So we build maternity wards without debts, without loan, without benefiting the colonizer in any way, shape, or form. We spin up businesses in the black, from tow trucks to safari resorts to alternative energy engineering organizations. Everything spins up in the black, without debt, without loan, and without benefiting the European in any way, shape, or form. We have, at this point, dug over 15 wells.
Wow.
We built a water bottling and filtration facility in the Free State of Kwakwa, South Africa. Now, in the Free State of Kwakwa, the sisters there, see, South Africa ran out of water 2 years ago, right? And the sisters there are at a position where they have to make a choice between selling their body for water or death.
Mm.
Selling their bodies for water or death. You are accountable for what you know. Sometimes it's better to live in a bubble, because as soon as I become accountable of a thing, I've got to do something about it.
That's right. That's right.
So we put a water filtration and bottling facility in the Free State of Kwakwa. So today, I'm very pleased. I am very pleased that I can say we are directly responsible for hundreds of jobs that are in place today, right now, where we're building economies from nothing. Well, I can proudly say that thousands of African babies today will be eating based on what it was we have done. I can proudly say that millions of human beings have clean water today based on the efforts that we have put forth without a single loan and without any debt.
Ashe, beautiful. Man, that's beautiful. Especially considering, you know, many of our people think that we have to partner with Caucasians or with organizations that are supposed to be philanthropic and as opposed to doing things on our own. But that's what this program is about. We every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 to 1, we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Our motto is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And right. We're at that stage that we should be looking towards one another. You mentioned earlier about you're doing this regardless of political philosophy, religious ideology, whatever it is, because we suffer not because we're any of that or NAACP, Urban League, Omega Psi Phi, Delta Sigma Theta, or any of those organizations or Grand Mesa. No, we suffer because we are African people.
That's right.
That's why they attack us, because we are African people. When they came to capture us, they didn't ask, what tribe are you from? You know, no, they just took us. They didn't give a damn about that. And just like when the Arabs came into Kemet, they didn't give a damn about the pyramids and the temples and tombs of Kemet. They took the limestone covering off of the pyramid. That's why they looked the way they look today. When they were first built, they had a limestone covering over them that was, I mean, that's the original bling.
Yes.
Can you imagine somebody being told about ancient Kemet? And that individual group, whatever, walked across wherever they walked across, and then they came to that Giza plateau, and then bam! I mean, that sun hits that pyramid, the sun hit the pyramid, the sun hits Hori Maket, or what the Greeks called the Sphinx. I mean, beautifully, bam, bling. What kind of society is this that built like this? Who are these people? And where did they get this knowledge? Well, of course, all the others sat at the feet of our people. They sat at the feet of our people. And then they came back as conquerors. It's the same thing that happened when they sat at the feet of our people and came during the Moors occupation of Western Europe. Taught them. They sat at our people again, at the feet of our people again. And they came back as conquerors. And my contention is that's over. We have to do it for ourselves. We recognize who they are. We recognize what they're about. And they, because they suffer from cognitive dissonance, there ain't a damn thing that we can do about who they are and what they're about. They believe that they are superior. They believe that they have the divine right to manifest damn destiny. You know, and there's a damn thing we can do about it. And we shouldn't. Hell with them. Let them go. Let us come together. Let us close ranks, pull our resources, and do what the Ledge Group is doing on the continent. Let us.
I suggest it would be far better for us, and we could spend 1,000 lifetimes looking at ourselves and how very beautiful and capable we are. It is a very interesting thing that on this planet Earth, and it's forgotten and not spoken to, but all numbers and language and mathematics, the fractal mathematics was used 200,000 years ago in the construction of a village in South Africa. It was not only a construction method, but it described a social hierarchical order of that tribe. 200,000 years ago, the most advanced mathematics on the planet Earth to this day. The Lebombo bone is dated as 37,000 years old.
Yeah.
It's the basis of binary mathematics. So we're talking astrology, astronomy, philosophy, architecture. We're talking every science, the calendar. We're speaking about the wheel, electricity, absolutely everything that every single human being on the planet Earth today uses came from that period. And the second any other people, gained any level of control, all strides ended. They stopped. The right angle, which allowed for the constructions of homes and people could stop being agrarian and go indoors, the right angle, all of these things came from a period where we were completely in control of the direction of the planet. And as soon as the parent was forced into the role of the child, and the child assumed the role of the parent, the world was left without a moral barometer, and it has nowhere to go. So I suggest there's absolutely no reason to study or look into the debilitating impact of what these people have ingested and what it will do to them. I think it is far more nutritious for us to focus on what it is that we are, what we carry forward. See, while the rest of the world would like to don bright peacock feathers and walk on stages and spread those feathers, 13% of the so-called American population controls the way everybody else walks and talks and thinks and expresses themselves. And everything that they do to define themselves come directly from us. So I'm not in a conversation about who's equal. It's not a matter of who's equal. What is most relevant is a lesson that I learned watching one of my favorite movies, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. It's Dan Freeman. Explain to the people that while you can go and build all of these fancy type of weapons, what you need to do is use what is most readily available right in your fingertips. So I'm not against the effort to gain reparations. I'm not against any of these forward efforts. I simply suggest that if you can't use what you have in your hands right now to change your condition, then more will not help you. The Vietnam conflict, the conflict in Southeast Asia, had a contest where perhaps the poorest people in the history of warfare had to fight the mightiest military in the history of warfare. Here is a people that had nothing, and here is a faction that had everything. And when those U.S., when the G.I. Joe went and sat down and ate their MREs, they would throw their, just like the virus, they would throw their discard away. They would leave it on the ground in that beautiful country. And they would leave their MREs and their empty packages on the ground. And the Viet Cong would clean their forest of their trash. And they would take that trash and they would stuff sulfur and match heads into containers, and they would create weapons from their trash. And this is how the Viet Cong won in Southeast Asia. They had nothing, and they fought the mightiest military in the world, and they won. John Henrik Clark made mention of a very important thing in history that we didn't look at. And that is that in Nagasaki, they had atomic bombs dropped on them.
Right.
Them shut their mouths, they closed their doors, and they built themselves to a position where now they're charging that same colonizer tenfold just to come step up on their ground. They didn't forget what happened. Mm-hmm. The Chinese suffered two opium wars at the hands of the colonizer. They didn't forget what happened. They shut their mouth. They closed their doors. They used what they had. They sent the Chinese over into America as tourists, and they were coming here, and they wasn't taking pictures of the monuments. They were taking pictures of the bridges, the roads, the streets.
That's right.
The buildings.
That's right.
The infrastructure. And they took that back to China, and they duplicated it just the same way they did with the car. So I suggest to you, over the last 400 years, we have accumulated a body of knowledge that has heretofore been useless to us. Knowing who they are, what they are, what they do, what they feel, what they like, knowing all of those things has heretofore been useless. But if we take that knowledge and we bring that back to Africa and we put it into a real melting pot, you understand what I'm saying? Now, suddenly, we've got the combination to deal with the Chinese, to deal with the Russian, to deal with them in the UK, to deal with them in the USC. We can sidestep the challenges and the mistakes that these colonizers have made. When they laid out the infrastructure in America, they ran poles, and there are wires that go all across the United States of America, bringing cancer to the children and the population. Well, this is a new day. We're in 2020. We got wireless technologies. We ain't got to run poles. We don't have to build the infrastructure in the way it has been done. We can port the knowledge of the mistakes that have been made in producing this flawed system. And we can take all of that combined knowledge, bring that back into the continent, and we can change the way that we do plumbing. We can use green septic tanks. We can use alternative energy methods. We can do everything different. And we've got the capacity to turn Africa into a superpower in 20 years. China can't feed herself. Russia can't feed herself. The UK can't feed themselves. Portugal and Germany and the Dutch and the US and all of these colonizers can't feed themselves. They just put water on the stock market as a commodity. As a commodity. They just put water on the stock market. We just finished digging 15 wells. Look, we have primed and positioned ourselves to be able to exist and flourish absent any government or any monetary system. And that is the only logical and permanent conclusion. Control your own essential needs so that you do not have to be tied to the success or failure of another man.
Ashe, brothers and sisters, we're going to be taking some calls in a minute before we go on to this break. And you can give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832, because I know many of you are listening. Some of you probably don't have a question or a comment. You just want to ingest this good information about what the Ledge Group and what Peter Brown and Brother Nkosi are doing, and you can join them. You can become a member or contribute to what's happening. This, you know, all of these other movements must, you know, let me just say this, and I know I said this a couple of weeks ago when we had the Pan-African Federalist Movement had their Zoom conference, their Zoom convention over 3 days. And at that same time, because it's October, you know, there's a lot of other things that are historically happened in October, organizations and Nat Turner and so forth. And as a consequence, you had a lot of other organizations having something. You know, we need to begin to speak with one strong voice. We need to come together collectively and to do this. We need, because by being fragmented and being divided, yes, some groups are doing some good and great things. I mentioned Habesha. Are you familiar with Habesha Incorporated?
I am indeed.
See, and I'm familiar with y'all too, because I mentioned the Ledge Group when I talked to the brother from Habesha. You know, and I know everybody, but believe me, and I'm not saying that everybody should fall under one particular umbrella, but there must be some coalescing. There must be some working together and sharing those resources and sharing that knowledge and to duplicate all across the continent what you guys are doing. And we need a united African states is what we're calling it, the United African states, because all the despots, all the neocolonialists who are still there. I mean, the Europeans still run South Africa. The Germans still run Namibia. The French are still having a serious stronghold. They're talking about 300 million Chinese to be located.
Oh, yeah.
To be located on the continent of Africa. All of these things, the only people who should be talking about what's happening in Africa are Africans and African diasporans who can come home with the knowledge they have, the resources they have, the ability they have to work with other Africans on the continent, not like what we did when we came to Liberia back in the 1800s. No.
Deal with our hand out.
Right. Right. You know, and thinking I'm better because I'm lighter, or I've been exposed to white folks, so I'm better. Or the other way around, no, I'm better because I ain't been enslaved. I'm better because I'm here, you know, and all of these divisions that are still there today. One of the things that I will never forget, I'm a retired firefighter, reading an article in the, I'm from Milwaukee. The Milwaukee, they used to have two papers, a morning paper and an evening paper. And I remember it was a morning paper that I was getting off work. Never forget it, reading an article that talked about Zygmunt Brzezinski, who was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. In fact, this was the late 70s, right before the 1980 and Ronald Reagan's coming in, who was one of the worst presidents along with Donald Trump. And reading this article about Zygmunt Brzezinski, and he says, we must do everything possible to prevent Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora from linking up, from joining together, from unifying. Because if they do, I'm paraphrasing.
The last group will form.
That's right. That's right, Brother Cozy.
And that is exactly where we come in.
Yeah.
Come in to do a job. And the job is to link Africans in the diaspora with Africans on the continent and Africans worldwide.
Yes.
Because we know and understand through time that once that happens, we gain our rightful place on this earth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We become the model. We bring sanity back to this damn planet. Everybody can look at us to look at how we can live, how we can share, how we can make sure that everybody has. You know, when they talk about ancient Kemet, they always try to put it, the Europeans, as if there was a society based upon what they're all about, enslaving others or taking from others, you know, of subduing, undermining others. That society became great and it lasted thousands of years because of the cooperation. I always say, when I used to work with young people, I used to always tell them the ancient Kemetic society became great because of four things. First, study. They studied everything. They studied the stars. They studied land. They studied animals. That's why they could make those pyramids align perfectly with Orion's belt in the sky. That's what they could do, as Brother Peter Brown mentioned about the mathematical equations that they could do. They studied, and then they communicated. They made sure that they were understood. They communicated. And because of that communication, they cooperated. They cooperated with one another. They didn't diss one another. They cooperated. And, of course, study, communication, cooperation, they organized. Those are the four things that I believe made the ancient Kemetic society great. They organized. You could not have done. You could not have built those temples, those tombs, and all the things. You could not have diverted the Nile, all those things, if you did not have organization. You cannot have created the calendar and all of the things that they've done. And the problem for us is we need to incorporate those principles.
Yes, sir.
You know,
we have
exactly
ourselves from that very specific knowledge that you speak to. One of the things that is most commonly overlooked relative to Kemet and the work that was done there is the administrative body of work that was performed. The Great Pyramid consists of approximately 2.5 million stones. The average weight of those stones is 2 tons, with the heaviest being 40 tons. Each and every single stone was perfectly leveled. The work product continued for 20 years with a perfectly level stone being put in place every 5 minutes without a single work stoppage in 20 years. This is the greatest administrative project that the world has ever seen. Mm. You must move 3 shifts of people in and out of the city. You must feed them. You must take care of their sanitation and hygiene. You must take care of any medical emergencies. You must make sure that there are no traffic jams when these people get off one shift and the next one transitions in. And there was not a single work stoppage in a generation. This is the level of resolve and discipline. But the other thing that Kemet did, see, here's the thing, and you said it earlier, it seems that some of ours are more enslaved today than those that were in fact in shackles. And the reason being that at that point, there was no point of confusion. See, the economic foundation in Kemet, and a lot of people don't know this, and I'm going to write about it. But the economic foundation was the susu. The susu is the economic basis by which Kemet ran. So what Kemet did was it used the combined knowledge of everything that had happened in African history to that point to produce the apex, the absolutely, see, again, those things that are not really seen or understood is that Kemet never knew a single day of infancy from the moment of the first dynasty. She demonstrated mastery of mathematics, mm-hmm. mastery of astrology, mastery of applied sciences and disciplines. There was never a day that Kemet crawled before she walked. So what she did was she used the combined knowledge. And when we look at our migration paths and we look at our history, it becomes very clear how it is that the Moor learned their astrological knowledge from the Dogon of Mali and then moved that through the world. It's very clear where all of this knowledge came from. And so what the Egyptians had was a very clear template of trusting and relying on the African genius. They didn't mix it up with an Arab ideology. They didn't mix it up with a European ideology.
They didn't weaken the pool.
That's right.
African genius. And so today, the problem is we're standing in 2020. And we have learned to silence the voice of our ancestry, which resonates deep with inside of us, because we can't stop hearing the voice of the virus that is telling us that our taste is more relevant than the nutrition. We can't hear our own voice because we're listening to the voice of the Arab that's telling us how we're supposed to live our lives. We can't live an organic African reality within a European hell. So there's only one solution. In order to heal from an abusive relationship,
you have to separate yourself.
Standing within that abusive relationship, you must extricate yourself from being abused. And from there, your healthy disposition can come into being. But as long as you remain in the abusive relationship, you will continue to be battered. And there is no other solution outside of controlling our own destiny through our essential needs, the instruments of our oppression.
And that's why I say, and we say, as a people, that until you own your own and you have your own, you will always be subject to that who owns you. So the bottom line is, that's why when you join the Ledge Group and you join the Grand Rising, you first have to take in and understand exactly what we do. That's why we use the Grand Rising as the portal to joining the Ledge. Mm-hmm. You can get in, you can look into the file section, you can look in and speak to people who have been there for a numerous amount of time and get to, speak to them and understand exactly what we do. Then you can decide if you want to join, and in doing so, we have the paperwork that is necessary to do that within the file section. From that point,
some fantastic, let me tell you, some of the things that we've just recently done. The Ledge Group has become a controlling factor in a nonprofit that is 60 years old. It was started in 1960 by Jews who vacated it, and we have acquired it. And at this point, what I'm looking at is our resort. We've got a 65-acre resort that we're building from the ground up, brick by brick, stone by stone. And my dream come true is that 11 months of the year, the accommodations on that resort are set aside for domestic violence survivors to be able to go there for a month and heal among their own. I don't want no men there. I want no men anywhere around. I want all sisters to be responsible for their own healing in their own direction. And then I want another month for our at-risk youth that need to have a widened scope, that need to see life exists in a different manner elsewhere, and you can take a direct hand in raising and producing your own food. So I want those at-risk youth to be there for a month. I want my brothers coming out of lockup to be able to come and spend a month in paradise and go to the hot springs in Arusha and go see the great migration on the Serengeti. I want sober vacations where my people that are trying to recover from substance abuse and the tricks that have been placed upon us, I want them to have a month to go and enjoy and refine who they are and find their center and their balance. I want 100% of our accommodations to be given to our people for free. We will manage the back end. We're gonna write that off, or we're gonna have the IRS cover that. And I call that self-pay reparations.
Right on.
This is how we have to think. We have to, again, like Dan Freeman in The Spook Who Sat by the Door, we got to use what we have in our hands right this minute to produce the changes that we need for 1,000 years into the future.
I say, yeah. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break. So we're going to hold it right there. When we come back, please give us a call. You know, we're on the line with two dynamic individuals from the Ledge Group and what they're doing. And I know if you're listening like I'm listening, it's like, man, just music to my soul, brother. Believe me. So we're going to be right back. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Flight time. That's right, flight time. You need to fly up out of here. That's for sure. In fact, that movie, Get Out, I always reference that, man. That's what we're supposed to do, Get Out.
And remember, say U.S., because that was the other movie, Us.
Yeah, Us, yep.
So it's Get Out of U.S. You have to complete the series.
That's right. Get Out of U.S. And believe me, man, some may argue being esoteric, but the bottom line is that's what we must do. If we are going to be a self-defining, self-respecting people once again, we got to get up out of this insanity, up out of this madness. And, you know, and I understand, just like Marcus Garvey said, that not all of us are going to go, because some of us ain't about nothing here. We ain't going to be about nothing there. So you keep your ass here. But for those who really want to do something for the future for African people and to put us back where we belong as a people who are self-defining and self-respecting, who are players in the world instead of the pawns that we have become, we must come together.
I'll show you something. For those that decide, okay, I'm not going to Africa, because I'm not African. Even if you're that simplistic in your thought process, the Ledge Group will still have something for you, my false African.
Talk about it.
Because what we'll do here is we'll set up different venues where they can open coffee companies, because we import, export coffee from Uganda. They want to sell jewelry. They want to have native things here in America. We can ship things back here so they can do business and take care of themselves and pay all of their money back to the master that's continually, you know, enslaving them. If they want to give all of that back, they can do that, but they won't be able to do that on our continent.
That's right.
So the reality of the situation is the Ledge Group will exceed its creed. We will exactly do what we set out to do, which is take care of every African on this planet, regardless of where you are.
That's right.
We're going to have something for everybody. And I say that because I have 10,000 years of ancestors behind me, pushing me in a direction, and I haven't deviated from that direction thus far. And we haven't deviated from that direction thus far. We don't remake wheels. We don't rewrite books. We don't have to do all of that, because they wrote it 50,000 years into the future, and that exceeds my lifetime. Yeah. So the bottom line is the way we are now is the way we will be forever. So the reality of the situation is this. We have something for everyone. And all I say to you, get it within yourself. Join the Ledge. See what we're about. Join the Grand Rising. Forgive me. See what we're about. And if you have what it takes within yourself and you feel an ancestral tug at you, join the Ledge and then become the full fruit from a tree of enlightenment and a tree of giving that you can truly be at any span of time.
You know, it's an interesting thing, you know, and you spoke to it, right? And my, you know, my greatest hero would have to be Marcus Garvey.
Yes.
Well, it's an interesting thing that W.E.B. Du Bois spent his entire life anti-Garvey and anti-movement. Now, if you look back at history, the entire history of the FBI and these secret intelligence agencies came into being because of Marcus Garvey, right? Now, at the end of W.E.B. Du Bois' life, he passed away in Ghana. So what this means is, as time went on, he realized the folly of his ways, and he inevitably determined that Marcus Garvey's direction was the only direction. We see this duplicated in the life of Martin Luther King Jr. when he came to the epiphany that he had integrated his people into a burning
home.
Now, Marcus Garvey, as you mentioned, never intended to bring everyone back to Africa. Everybody is not mentally prepared. But at the same time, and this is where the brilliance comes in, at the same time, it was a fully and must be a fully inclusive plan. So whether or not you intend to come to Africa makes no difference. I'm still, you can call me Killmonger, because I'm going to go in.
Right on.
And I'm going to scrape that resource, and I'm going to build from the ground up the supply chains necessary to bypass the colonizer and be able to put that directly in your hand. So instead of us buying gold from Jacob, why wouldn't we be owners of all of the gold trade in the world? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't we be owners of the diamond trade throughout the world, in parity with our people? See, no one ever walked into the African and said, I'll split with you 50-50. I'll finance the project and I'll split with you the profits 50-50. No one has ever done that. Why can't you be fair with that man? See, because if we do, it is only through that method that we can go in and we can offer a better deal than anyone on the planet Earth on their gold. We can offer a better deal than anyone on the planet Earth on their oil, on their copper, on their diamonds, on their resources. We can give them a share. And at the same time we give them a share, we disperse that resource to our brothers and sisters in Brazil, to our brothers and sisters in the UK, to our brothers and sisters in America. We are the largest unorganized corporation in the world. Amazon ain't got the reach we got. We find our people in the Amazon. We'll find our people in Hawaii. We find them in New Zealand. All over the planet Earth, we're represented. So why wouldn't we responsibly find a way to create an accord with our continental brothers and sisters, give them a share finally for the first time in history, and then take that and put it into the hands of our people wherever they might be, rather than waiting for a super colonizer to come save us? Why wouldn't we pick up what's at our feet right this minute and move the crowd forward? We waiting for a solution. Again, we spoke about it. We're thinking that everything external is of value because they have diminished our value in our own eyes. Every time I open up my mouth, they say, you can't know what you're talking about. They question what I say. They devalue me. And as a result of that, we ingest that devaluation and we think we are worth nothing. But right. The African genius is what gave life to everything here. So why would I listen to this man as having the pattern or the model that I should use in order to flourish into the future? The only way that that's going to come is if it comes by way of the African genius. So again, we built a system and people look at it. And again, I try myself, you know, the ego is a killer. So I try my best to keep a lid on that. But it is very hard for me to look at the world celebrating these celebrities who make a charity gesture, right? Oprah opens up a school in South Africa where pedophilia is happening. But she opens up a school and she don't provide no books. Guess what? We have by far exceeded what Oprah Winfrey ever wanted to do as it relates to our people, with digging the 15 wells, with building maternity wards, with doing these work. We've done more than any of these celebrities that have almost $1 billion have done, and we've done it in a shorter amount of time. So we've got a solution, and we will transcend every single metric. When we get to Ethiopia, we will open in Ethiopia. When we get to Burundi, we will open in Burundi. When we get to Rwanda, we'll open in Rwanda. And every single area, north, south, east, west, central Africa, the ledge will be represented. It is a formula behind the direction and the teachings of Marcus Garvey, of Malcolm X. It is to put the mechanics behind it and make it work. And again, I'm very proud to say, it ain't conjecture. It ain't theory. We can point to the buildings. We can point to the work and say, go look, go drink clean water. with our people. So when the system of the colonizer finally reaps the harvest of the bitter seeds that she has sown, regardless as to whether or not you had aligned with us, regardless as to whether or not you believed in what we were doing, at that day, you will need water to survive 72 hours. Find us. We got a glass of water for you. You're going to need food.
That's what I'm talking about.
For 30 days of time, find us. We've got a plate for you. You're going to need shelter, and we're building that right now. So you find us, and we will have shelter for you. You understand? We must have the resolve and the foresight to be able to see, in like in a chessboard, seven moves ahead of the world, and be
number able five.
To place those things that are necessary for us. We look at them crumbling. Albion, or what is called Europe, is crumbling. The queen vacated her seat. I mean, they are embroiled in child sex trafficking in the UK. Understand, the trade deals all over the planet Earth were destroyed. Brexit, there are no trade deals. There are no built-in contracts anymore. The U.S. destroyed all of their trade
deals. We are their trade.
There's no trade. There's nothing established. We're in a brave new world. And the African, I'm telling you. And you heard me say it, Brother Nkosi. And yep. I got the gumption to say it again. I need specific tools. I need excavators, well diggers. I need cranes. I need tractors. I need specific tools. And I can promise you, in one generation, 20 years, Africa will be the superpower, the preeminent superpower on this planet Earth. No
question. There was a conference that was given where one of the Caucasians was talking about how they have to keep Africa down so that everyone else can reap the benefit. And I said, and I passed that about within the group. And I said to everybody, I said, this is why the ledge was created, to make sure that this clown never grows a day older. You see what I'm saying? So if we can stop the thought process that created him, we can then do what we have to do. And the thought process has been germinating for well over 100 years, and now you're seeing the birth of that child. You see me, and you see my brother Peter, and you see all of us in the ledge group. You see, all of us who understood and understand and understand exactly what Marcus Garvey meant when he said, not everyone was meant to come, but we still got a place for you. This is the welcome. I just say welcome to the Ledge Group. And when we get there and you see the expanse of the city that I envision, right there over the crest, you'll see the word Ubuntu.
Mm-hmm. We are.
That's right. And I am because of who we are as a people.
Marcus Garvey said a thing that was so very important, and it is not repeated enough to this day, and we're forgetting it. Marcus Garvey said, any leadership that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you. Mm. Any leadership that teaches you to depend upon another race is a leadership that will enslave you. Now, you look through the landscape of your leaders and your politicians and your journalists and your celebrities and your civil rights icons, and you ask yourself one question. If we commit 100% of their plan into being, at the end of that plan, are we still dependent on white people to survive for 72 hours? And if the answer is yes, then that is no plan.
That's right. You've been walked and hoodwinked and led astray and walked into a wall. And you personally have some blame in it because you didn't even see the wall. So the reality is, it's not about always trying to find a leader. Because I have a saying that I use, and it's older than my great-grandmother. It said, do not walk in front of me, for I may not want to follow. Do not walk behind me, for I may not want to lead. Walk beside me and walk as my brother. And that is where my brother Peter is in my life. Is where you are, Oshi, in my life. I want you on the side of me. But we can walk together into the paradise that our ancestors have created for us.
You know, the thing that bothers me most about us is that, and I use this analogy.
I don't like that conversation.
I use the analogy of a vice grip. The European has a vice grip on our minds. I say all the time, in fact, I end the program with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And they have a vice grip on our minds. And if you understand that tool, that once the vice grip is set, you cannot pull it apart, you know. But there's a knob at the end of the handle that you turn to release the tension. And the turning of that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self, the ability that you know who you are culturally, historically, and your ability to do whatever it is that you put your mind to doing, and more importantly, to do it collectively. And so once you continue to turn that knob and release the vice grip, you will see the European, the Caucasian, for who and what he is, and don't even worry about that, because he is going to do what he is going to do. Now that you have the sight and the insight and the foresight and the knowledge to come together, and now let's work on building for us. Let's work on building for eternity. Because I know when you first started to talk, Brother Peter Brown, you talked about how for thousands of years we have planned this. We have done this. We have charted the heavens. We have circumnavigated the planet. We have done all these great things that, of course, even today, I just saw another piece. Even today, the Europeans is consistently trying to devalue the knowledge of African people, that we are somehow less than, that we are somehow inferior, that we have less intellectual capacity than any other people, you know. And I could give less than a rat's ass what they say. I know who we are, you know. I know who we are, but more importantly, I wish we could convey that to our people, and they can embrace that so they know who they are, and they can release that vice grip that the European has on their minds, so we can think and begin to respect one another, trust one another, work with one another, build with one another. You know,
what I say to that is, if I can cure cognitive dissonance and I can cure Stockholm Syndrome, I can free my people. But what I do is, when I'm having a conversation with a bunch of my brothers and sisters in there, everybody's at each other's throat trying to discover, this history, they can out-talk this one about this history, and they can out-talk this one about this history. I say, what about the pyramids that are going to be built today? Forget about yesterday's pyramids. What are we going to build now? That's the reality of the situation. Are you so stuck in what has happened that you can't see what is able to be done? Let's move from that point right there.
And let me tell you something. Each word that each of you speak inspires my every single cell. And those who are listening, I don't know whether or not you have noticed, but today's date is November 6th. And there has just been the largest sporting event in the world carried out on stage. And not one of us have mentioned anything about them or what they are doing. You see, they have occupied far too much of our consciousness. We have thought about them in every waking moment, in our dreams, in our goals and plans. They're predicated upon them being here. And in this conversation, they do not factor one scintilla. What we are talking about is what we need, we as a people. And as long as we can't clear the clutter and focus myopically on what we as a people need, then we will flounder. We've got to not consider any other people. I don't care if it hurts your feelings. I don't care what kind of spirit you catch based on what you see us doing, because we're doing for ourselves, and we owe it to our ancestry. We owe it to our progeny to maintain that very singular focus towards what we need. It's a time, and I'm telling you, Africans, I'm telling you, it's time to be selfish. You have been self-sacrificing for so long. You have suffered in silence for so long. I'm telling you, I'm giving you license today. I'm telling you, be selfish. It's about us and nobody else. Nobody else.
Drink that tasty liquid called water of life. Drink it. Savor it. Love it. Let it become part of you. Because the reality of the situation is this. We started it, we created it, and we're going to finish it.
We have let's take a call. We have a caller. 646-646. Good afternoon. You're with the...
Hey, what's happening? What's happening, Ocean, to your guests? Listen, sir, could you please talk about some of the projects that you've got going on over in Gambia?
I remember this brother.
Yeah, that's Brother Jay. Yeah, he...
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I've been listening since you've been on, and I really would like to hear about some of the projects.
Well, Gambia, we're not active in the Gambia at this point.
We tried to.
We really did.
It is not easy what it is that we do. If it were, it would have already been done. If somebody tells you that you can take and send $1,000 from the United States of America to anybody in Africa whom you have not met and expect that that $1,000 will be used in the manner in which you thought it would, you just threw away $1,000. It's not possible. Yeah. You can't do it.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Where are y'all at right now? Are y'all just in Ghana, or are y'all any place else doing some projects? Because now I know I follow Brother Peter Brown, I think it is, on Facebook, and he's always showing this beautiful structure that's being built. Could you? I'm not sure.
That's Tanzania.
Okay. So right now y'all have projects going on in Tanzania. And
we have Tanzania. We have Tanzania. We have the Free State of Kwakwa in South Africa. We have South Africa as a whole. We have Kenya. We have Uganda. Sierra Leone is online, but we haven't totally solidified Sierra Leone yet.
Yeah, we have. It's on.
It is online.
So right now, y'all doing the most building and the most work in Tanzania?
No, not actually. In Zambia right now, we've got a retail location, we've got we've got tow trucks, and we've got 11 member homes being built right now.
Yeah, okay. We have homes being built right now in Zambia right now.
Where is the coffee that y'all talk about all the time? Because I know I follow what's going on with Jackie Robinson's son and his coffee thing when he comes to the U.S. I usually, but he hasn't been this year, I don't think, because of the pandemic. But matter of fact,
our coffee comes out of Uganda.
Talking about that.
Our coffee comes out of Uganda and from the Elgon Mountains. Mm-hmm. And I could proudly say from the writings and from the testing and all the things that have gone on, I can say we have the best coffee in the world.
Hey.
Or none. I don't even I can say that without blinking.
Well, as Africans, we have the best of everything until the white man come and steal it and claim it. So that ain't nothing new.
Wait, yeah, and then put some raisins on it and sell it to us and say it's better. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Why do you think you got Raisin Bran today?
Yeah.
That was nothing but Wheaties.
Well, listen, brother, I support the group. I think, it's a beautiful group. my brother Peter Brown, he's always dropping knowledge and wisdom. So I'm always appreciative whenever he posts. So I just look forward to continuously witnessing the growth of your organization. But I definitely hope y'all talk more about the projects that you're building.
Well, one thing I say, my brother, and I say this openly. We've been in at this for 5 years dealing in the continent. We have people in the Grand Rising in their 3, 4, 5 years with us, but they haven't made the move to matriculate over to the Ledge Group. So as you see 5,000 people in the Ledge, I mean, in the Grand Rising, you have 200 and some in the Ledge Group. Those 200 are legends.
The brothers and sisters in the Ledge are the ones that are doing the physical work. The brothers and sisters in the brothers and sisters in the Grand Rising are being supportive in a number of ways, particularly economically. Correct?
Economically?
Not necessarily economically from the Grand Rising.
Okay. Not from the Grand Rising.
Okay. Member, the 276 members of the Ledge Group are the ones who have done absolutely everything that you see happen on this earth. We built and deployed a 1 million liter water storage tank in Tanzania to bring water to a village of 2,000 people, as well as our resort. Not a debt, not a loan. And that happened by way of 276 people. The maternity ward, again, same thing. Everything that we've done has happened by way of that core membership. Now, the Grand Risings, what we do is, again, we're importing that coffee. We're importing goods, chessboards, this kind of thing. And they have exclusive pricing. So they can earn money to become a Ledge member. So, again, it has to be a fully inclusive plan. We can't build a plan that overlooks our felons or our brothers and sisters that have high child support. This is a reality. We need to have a plan that includes absolutely everyone where they are. And if it doesn't, then the plan needs to be modified so that it does. So that single mother, I'm going to tell you, the reason that the Ledge Group was built is because I asked my mother many years ago, I said, Mom, if after my father died in 72, after father died, and you were left with 6 kids, no job, no education, no skills. If somebody gave you 7 tickets for your children and you to leave and go to Africa, and you didn't know how you were going to survive, and you didn't know how you were going to make it, would you take that trip? And she said without blinking, yes. So the Ledge Group was built so that a single mother of 6 children has a viable way out, has a community that she will walk into, has a safety net that can maintain her, is walking into food, clothing, shelter, water, healthcare, and security. It is a fully inclusive plan that allows each and every one who should choose to walk into freedom and define it for themselves forevermore.
And the reality is we've also recently adjusted for that. Before, everyone was on the same level as far as membership fees and everything. But because of that move and the times that we are in, we say, hey, let's adjust for that mother and adjust for her children. So that way, it'll be a little easier on them to become a part of. But at the same time, Peter made a statement just now that they will walk into all of this stuff. They will walk into, but at the same time, it's still Ubuntu. So once you get there, you can decipher what it is you're going to do to bring your part of our joy with you.
That's right. You got to do.
You can't come there and just lay down.
This ain't vacation land. Look, the majority of the people that repatriate to Africa today do so after they've worked an entire lifetime in America and they take their retirement and they go to Africa and they can live fairly well. They also take their SSI and they go to Africa and again, they can build their houses and they can live fairly well. This does little for Africa. This does very little for the people in the diaspora. We cannot go to Africa as refugees. We must recognize that since 400 years ago, Africa has been hemorrhaging. They pulled the scientists. They pulled the agriculturalists. They pulled the builders. They pulled the best and brightest, and they brought us here and made us build their American. Yeah. Their John Deere was an idea that came from me, dear. You understand? Everything that they have came from us. So it is not appropriate for us to go back into Africa as refugees. It is not appropriate to go looking for Club Med. It is important to recognize that freedom costs. It's going to cost you more than a 40-hour work week. It's going to cost you more of an investment than a job that you work 20 years. In order to maintain freedom, you're going to have to work. So we have to go back into Africa with an entirely different framework in mind. We do not walk with our hats in our hands. We're not leaving America beaten up and scarred. I'm not running away from a fight. I'm walking triumphantly into the continent, bringing the sum total of the courage, the determination, and the fortitude of those that survived in the darkest darkness over the last 400 years. There's no way I can go in there humble and with my head down and begging Mother Africa to take care of me. No, no, we go back with solutions.
Yes.
We go back proud.
Yes.
We go back and we bring everything that we have learned to bear in order to sew up Mother Africa's wounds and stand that continent up in the Congress of Men to the place where it should be.
Yeah.
Make out.
That is the Ledge Group.
Yeah. And that's what
we don't come asking anybody for anything. We didn't go in there and say, can I build this, please, sir? No. We partnered with an African that had something, and we made that something into something great together. Mm-hmm. That creates Africa. You do short of bringing all you can and all of you to the continent and only accept a quarter of them, and you still don't come up with 100%. Everybody has to give what they are and who they are to the process of healing and creating what we call home.
You got something to say, Jay?
Oh, no, nah, man. I mean, like I said, man, I'm enjoying listening to it. I just wanted to ask right quick. Is that Brother Peter right there that was speaking previously?
Yes.
Yes, it is, my brother. He's here with me.
Yes.
Okay. I just had to catch the voice. I'm trying to figure out which one is Peter and who is the other brother. The
other brother's in Cozy. Brother in Cozy.
I am in Cozy. Peter Brown is the CEO. I am the COO.
Yep. So okay. We have the two main individuals here of the Ledge Group, and of course,
I mean, I'm just trying to catch the voice and what's saying what. But listen, man, I wish y'all the best of luck, man, and I hope that y'all able to build out wherever y'all go in Africa and make it a better place for us, and hopefully those that come over and repatriate will be able to live a vainglorious life and help the continent get rid of these crackers. And I really think we need to start figuring out how to get rid of that Chinaman, because it seems like he's really...
He's
got to
get rid of himself, my brother. He's going to get rid of himself.
I don't know about that, because he's putting forward a serious foothold on the continent by marrying our women, man. And
My brother, if you don't put down the proper food, nothing will come and eat at your table. When we get there, and as we continue to do the work of the African, even the woman who sees another man as a better man will have to rethink her thought process. The whole objective is to do the work. As long as we do the work, everything else falls into place. And when they started building the pyramids, they built it with the knowledge that it will stand for 500,000 years. And they built it brick by brick. They didn't build it thinking about, I don't know if this is going to work. No, we just do the work, my brother. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not worried about the Chinese, just like I'm not worried about Trump becoming president. I'm not worried about what this guy is doing because I'm too busy doing my job.
That's right. And guess what else? I'm going to tell you something that happens. And I'm praying that each and every one of my brothers and sisters get to see it. See, when you walk on the continent, right, and you encounter any other people, guess what? They can see you from a mile away because they are used to people deferring to them, right? They're used to people kind of acquiescing to them in order to be able to get what they got. So when they see you and your head is high and you looking straight in their eyes, oh, their worst fear just came to life. They okay. just realized that the very people they're trying to run away from are right there standing with the brother. And that's what I intend to do. I'm not going in there acting like I got all the answers for Africa. I don't. What I intend to do is I intend to stand with my brother. So when we go into the room, he goes into the room informed of what this forked tongue means when he says what he says. You understand? So we don't need control. I don't need to control anything in Africa. All I need to do is be there to whisper in my brother's ear and let him know that this is tricky. You understand?
That's right. And it, like I try to tell people, Peter made a very good analogy, right? He talked about that forked tongue. Remember one thing about the English language. There are words that sound alike and spelled differently. Now, remember, when one of them tell you, man, go over there and wait a minute, he might not be saying W-A-I-T. He might be saying W-E-I-G-H-T and you and never come to you. You feel? So once you understand the nature of the individual who's speaking to you, you know that when he tells you to go over there and wait, you better go over there and start building.
Yeah. If he says right, you better go left.
Yeah. Exactly. You got to understand the language in order to understand the proper reaction to give to the words that were given to you. And we of the led say, we don't need your word because we know the word.
We have just a few more minutes left before the program.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm really enjoying this, and I definitely want to continue to promote the Ledge Group like I promoted the other groups. If you heard, you both listened to the program from the beginning, and you know I make these announcements, and even during the middle of the program I make these announcements. But to me, what you guys are doing, what the Ledge Group is doing, is some serious work that needs to be understood and overstood, and more importantly, that needs people who want to make sure that they help Africa, to make sure that they are ready to forge a new, you know, a new life for Africa by helping to build. You know, Africa needs roads. They need highways. They need railroads. They need ports. They need schools. They need hospitals. They need ability to link up the continent from north, south, east, and west. They need to also have land management so they can make sure the migration patterns of animals are maintained, and so forth. All of these things Africa can do and Africa must do or will do because it is necessary and because it is ours. It is ours. We don't have to ask nobody. See, this ain't ours. This ain't ours. That's why when people talk about, you know, even carving out some land here, a few states here, like the Republic of New Africa or the Nation of Islam or any other, you cannot be sovereign here. You cannot. You still have to pay some taxes. You still have to pay. You can't go off the grid. You can't.
Like Wall Street.
Yeah. You know, that can't.
So the lesson, what the problem is that we failed to extract the lesson. What was the lesson learned at Black Wall Street? And unfortunately, we don't speak these words. The lesson learned at Black Wall Street is if you build anything, among 100 million people who have practiced hating you for 400 years. It can only exist on their good graces. Yeah. And they ain't got no good graces. We've seen with 100% of the building efforts that black folk have put into being over the last 400 years. 100% of those efforts have been destroyed. There is not a lamppost, fence post, or signpost that is standing that black people built for the benefit of black people, and it exists to this day. That's they destroyed absolutely
everything. And see,
they're just digging up the bodies. They're just digging up the bodies now.
Yeah. The idea of doing the same thing and expecting different results is called insanity.
Insanity. You know, and that's the thing. You know, today, just like when we had these communities, I remember, once again, I'm from Milwaukee, and as I was growing up, we had a community that was pretty much ours. You know, in terms of there was businesses, there were restaurants, there were stores, and so forth. Yeah, you know, and we've had these things, but there now across this this country, we have nothing. There was a Haitian community in Raleigh-Durham. There was, Rosewood, Tulsa, Lane, Arkansas, all of these places, Allentown, all of these places. The European is evil. Selfish, greedy mind just couldn't fathom we're doing something of ourselves, and they destroyed them. They came in and they destroyed them to now to the point that we're just happy to be in these cities. We're just happy to be anywhere. We're just happy that, like here in Atlanta, we don't own a damn thing. We got some nice subdivisions where we live,
right?
You know, gated communities. But we don't have a damn supermarket. There's not a supermarket here.
Isn't that something?
All these folks, yes.
Right.
We got a supermarket in Zambia.
Right on.
And we're proud of these cities where we own nothing.
Yes. But yes.
That pride. See, if your definition of wealth is given to you by a people who benefit from your inability to define wealth for yourself, then you will always lose. So we want to be proud because we're human beings. But guess what? That building ain't yours. How am I gonna be proud? So the value system tells us that money equals freedom. And in fact, it doesn't. Money equals being tied to the Europeans. So when we look at people in the United States of America, we consider someone successful the bigger debt slave they are. If they got a great big house with a note, we call that successful. If you driving a Rolls Royce, we call that successful. We don't look at that as being a debt slave, right? It's an interesting thing. 400 years ago, they used to force sexual perversion on us in the form of sex farms, in the form of rape, castration. Everything was focused on our genitalia and our reproductive capacity. Absolutely everything. And today, in 2020, we call it freedom to exploit our own sexuality. So somehow, freedom has become connected to sexuality in 2020, when in fact, it was forced on us. And so we can't define freedom for ourselves. Mm. We are left in a position where, again, we don't have our own value system. We do not have our own attributes that are specifically our own. Ain't but one way. I take you out of here. I bring you to Africa. I promise you. I give you a fruit straight from the tree. I promise you. I give you some clean water. You will reject the dirty water from that point forward.
Ashe. Brother Nkosi, Brother Peter Brown, and to our listeners, we appreciate it. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, the European, the Caucasian, the cracker, whatever. How about this word? I ain't heard this word in a long time. The hunky. The oppressor, ain't heard that word in a long time. The oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, we thank you for listening. You have a great weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivihore. Bivihore means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. We will be victorious. You have a good weekend.
Ashe.
Peace. Ashe. Ashe.